All right. I think they did pretty good on that new song, don't you? Worked out good. Sounded great. So, 4-H, fair, parade. See, they changed the route on us, huh? Only saw one set of chairs over there. It's not going to be a very exciting parade for them. But I did see a set of chairs on the old route, but they've moved that. Hey, the older I get, I think the more I like the parade better than the fair, but it's good. Huh, what? I just like the candy, I know. They throw candy at you. I love the 4-H fair. I love the parade. It's wonderful living in Elkhart County and being a part of that, growing up with it. And now what's really special for us is that we have grandkids in 4-H, actually doing 4-H. And I wasn't a part of 4-H. There are some good values in 4-H. It's amazing stuff. I am absolutely thrilled that my grandkids are doing 4-H. Zoe and Landon and Audrey, they have so much going in 4-H. It's crazy. I mean, ducks, goats, chickens, sewing, rockets. Man, they are in it to win it and doing amazing things. Peyton has a pig. Kelly has a dog. She's dog training, dog show. The dog's bigger than her, so pray for that. Is anybody else, Kent, are you guys, well, Jade's in 4-H, what's she doing? Lots of projects? Business stuff. Cool. Emma, you in 4-H? What are you doing? Photography. Nice. See, those are all good things, man. That's awesome. So I love that about these kids, because they are in it. They are in the heart of it. That's what it's about, really. You guys like me, I just like, yeah, I go to eat. I mean, that's what you do, right? We go to eat, we watch, and you know what? We don't want the church to be that way, though. You don't want the church to be like me in the parade. We want the church to be in it, in the heart, in the practice, in the values, doing the work. If it was for me, the parade wouldn't even continue. But it's those kids and those adults that are digging in, that are in the core of those good, good things happening at the 4-H fair. Religion is kind of like me as the spectator getting candy thrown at me from the parade going by. Following Jesus is more like these kids in it, creating, developing, growing as human beings. We're finishing up our series today. The series was titled The Problem with Religion, and we've spent about 3 or 4 weeks looking at the problems of religion, things like they always need an explanation, they love appearances, they lack genuine humility, stuff like that. And I've been telling you along the way that there is this obvious verse in the scriptures about religion, and I would save that one till last. And so this is the last, today is the last day of this series. And so the problem with religion in the concluding segment is religion isn't all bad. There is something good to be said about religion. So the verse is James chapter 1, and it's verse 26 and 27. And this may be familiar to you. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. That's verse 26. Verse 27, religion that is pure, and here we go, here's the good side. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, and that's, we're interested in that, God the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's our verses for today right there. And that's the good side of religion. That's what we're going to conclude with. We don't want to just spend 4 or 5 weeks telling you religion is junk when there's actually a good side to religion, and there it is. And so, but this is what I want to do today. I want to show you religion in the New Testament just a little bit, define this term, and then come back to this verse, and we'll talk about it. All right? So, let's begin this way. Religion, this word, religion. If any of you thinks you're religious, and you don't bridle your tongue, you're religion. So you got religious and religion, it's the same word. It's the word threskos. Mark, I think, has this. There's your word. You learned your Greek for today. Threskos, religion. And this is what it means in the New Testament. This is right out of the Greek dictionary. Predominantly, the ceremonial service of religion, the external framework. So religion is the decor. The religion is the practice. The religion is the structure. The religion in that Bible, in the Greek, it's the service of it. It's the external framework of it. We're not talking about the heart right now. We're talking about the external, the visible part of it. It's the religious part of it. Another definition would be the diligent performer of the divinely ascribed duties of the outward service of God. The religious person is the performer of God's duties. It's the outward service of it. So when the Bible talks about, when the New Testament talks about religion, it's talking about the outward performance of the structure, the framework of God's duties or duties of some authority or some scripture. Now, let me just point you to a couple scriptures and I'll show you what I mean. Acts 26:5. Apostle Paul is on trial and he's speaking to King Agrippa and his wife Bernice, and he's kind of defending himself. They've already kind of heard the indictment against him, and Paul is standing before the king and his wife, and he says, if they will admit it, if my accusers, the Jewish people, the religious people, if they will admit it, they will tell you that I was of this strict religion of the Pharisees. And he says, I was of the most strictest sect of the Pharisees. Let me pull this up for you on my computer. Acts 26:5. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. He says, they will tell you that as my outward service goes, I was of the strictest, most conservative party of our religion. I was a Pharisee. I was adamant. I was dogmatic. I was passionate. I was of the most conservative, strictest religion, outward service of it. So Paul says, I was not a slouch. When it came to religion before Christ, I was not a slouch. I was very strict. Later on, the New Testament, he will tell us everything before Christ in my life was trash. Was trash. So even though I was very religious, I mean, I persecuted Christians and anybody else who went against the Pharisees. I was their man. I was committed. It was trash. Another one, a little bit different one, is Colossians chapter 2. And this is not about the Jewish people, but it's in our Bible, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. I got a new Bible. It's hard to turn the pages. I'm looking. Philippians, Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Coming to that. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions. Let no one look down their nose and disqualify you, saying that you should be depriving yourself more, living this hard, rugged, deprived life, and worshiping angels. And that word worship is our word religion, threscos, that you should be serving in some outward way, in some outward service. Let no one tell you you should be serving or observing angels. It's prohibited. Don't do it. And there at Colossae, there were people, there was apparently service and religion toward angels. Back to Acts 25. Back to Acts 25. Paul, again, and this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect when you're speaking of religion. Acts 25, verse 18. And this is more like the Roman governor now speaking, and he's talking to the king, and he says, they brought Paul here and they accused him of all this stuff. But listen to what he says they accused him of, verse 18. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I supposed. Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Now that's religion. That is religion at its finest. He says, look, they brought him here. They wanted him dead. And it'll tell you that. If you read that chapter, they accused him. They wanted me to try him and give him the death sentence. They wanted him dead. And I'm sitting here, and he says, and I'm waiting for them to give me these evil charges. Who'd he murder? What'd he do? Who'd he rape? And he says, they didn't have none of that. They just wanted to dispute about their religion and talk about this Jesus whom they said was dead and Paul said was alive. I didn't know what to think. That's what he goes on. If you read that chapter, he says, I didn't know what to do with these people. Crazy religious people. I don't know what to do, King Agrippa. You look at it. These guys are crazy. That's what he says. You read it. That's religion. That's religion. Religion loves to dispute about itself. Oh, you're not doing that right. Oh, you don't believe that. Oh, they love to dispute about themselves. They don't have evil charges. They love to dispute about their religion, about the right way you should be doing this. And about this Jesus. I don't know who this Jesus is. Is he dead? Is he alive? I don't know. He's important, but I don't. But you shouldn't be doing it that way. That's religion. And still today, people look on and they go, you guys are crazy. I don't know what to think about you guys. That's exactly what happens. We don't want to be that way. We can't be that way. We're going to follow Jesus. We are going to look crazy, but we are going to follow Jesus. In my best, have you ever watched Fiddler on the Roof? You know who Rev Tevye is? Rev Tevye. My best Rev Tevye. He says, We go to the synagogue. We read the Torah. We sing a psalm. We only sing psalms every week, every Sabbath. Once a quarter, we go to synagogue and we read Torah. We sing two psalms. Once every 6 months, we go to synagogue, we read the Torah, we sing two psalms, and we read Ezra. Once a year, we go to synagogue, and we read Torah, and we sing two psalms, and we read Ezra, and a whole chapter of Isaiah. And we wear our best sackcloth and ashes. And if you don't wear your best sackcloth and ashes, we talk about you. We talk about you. And we talk about you. After all, it is the National Day of Forgiveness and Mercy. And you did not wear your best sackcloth and ashes. Religion, we still have it today going on all over. I talk about you. James addresses that. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. You think I was joking, only partially, because what does he say? James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worth less. What's that mean? What's that mean? This person thinks he's religious. He doesn't bridle his tongue. He deceives his heart. Why is that he deceives his heart? Because I'll tell you why. Listen. Because this religious person believes with all his heart he's doing right. This person believes with all his heart he's pleasing God by his religion. He believes with his whole heart, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And if you won't do it, I'll talk about you. And you know what James says? You just made your religion worth less. Zero. Because you can't bridle your mouth. Your religion's zero. You may be like Paul, the strictest, most adamant religious person. You're here, you're there every Sunday. You do all the right stuff. I observe, I wear, I do, I am, and you can't control your mouth. It's worthless. You just cut the heart out of it. I'm not talking about, listen to me, I am not talking about cussing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can't control your mouth to talk about other people. Do you believe me? If you don't, read James. Go back in the chapter and read James. And he says, does a spring pour forth salt water and fresh? And yet you praise your God and curse your brother who is made in his image. This should not be. That's what James is talking about. He's not talking about swearing. He's talking about how can you talk about that human being sitting there who was made in the image of God and then look up and praise your God? You can't control your tongue. You can't control your mouth. And your religion is worthless. And do you know what? This is why people look at us like Bernice and Agrippa and Festus, and they said, I don't know what to do with these people. They come in here wanting him dead, and I'm waiting for his accusations, how awful he is, and all they want to do is dispute about their religion. You can't control your mouth. Talk, 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 talk. Gossip, 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 talk, talk, talk. This person, that person. It's worthless. You have just made people look at you and go, I don't know, they go to church, but their mouth runs. And they talk bad about this, and they talk bad about this, and they, I don't know what these people are. I just know I don't want any part of it. You complain, you fuss, you backbite, you burn up that cell phone, and you are your heart says, I am living for God religiously. Boom, 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 boom. I've been there 20 years. I've served in that minute. And unfortunately, you get a zero in the score column because your mouth has just made everybody step back and go, I don't know what to think. And there's so many of those going on today. There's so much that people look at us on Sunday morning and they go, I don't know, Festus. I don't know about them, but you should hear them talking about each other. Your religion is worthless if you can't control your mouth. That's what James says. I told you I was going to tell you about the good part. And that's verse 27. If there's a religion killer, if there's something that'll absolutely kill your religion, it's your tongue. All your good deeds and good service can be killed with your tongue. But there is good news. There is a pure and undefiled religion before God. Verse 27. Here it is. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If you can do that and control your mouth, you'll do well. We've got to control our mouth. We've got to do that. Or any religion is defiled and impure. Any religion is worthless. Any observance, any outward act of religion. If you can't control your mouth, if you can't quit talking and gossiping and smearing and complaining, your religion is worthless to your Father. But here's two things that will make you shine if you can do them. And the first is to visit the widows and orphans in their affliction. To visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. Now, this is going to sound reminiscent. What does it mean to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction? Hi, Susie, can I come over and have coffee with you? Okay, I'll be there at 10. Is that visiting the widows and orphans in their affliction? No. It's a start, but it's not. So let me read a passage of Scripture to you that I read to you 2 weeks ago and see if this rings a bell. How many of you remember 2 weeks ago me talking about the sheep and the goats? Anybody? Were you here? Do you hear me talking about the sheep and the goats? And the question I asked you was, when Jesus is in heaven, and he says, and that judgment day comes, and he says, sheep there, goats there, how does he divide the sheep and the goats in that story that Jesus told? How does he do it? You remember me asking you that? And the answer was, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, sheep. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink, goat. Eternal judgment, kingdom. I was hungry and you fed me, sheep. Go into eternal glory. I was hungry and you didn't feed me, goat. Eternal damnation. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me, sheep. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me, goat. That's how Jesus divides them. It's just a mark of those who are truly following Jesus. We still believe. We follow Jesus. We give our life to Jesus, and the true sign of his followers are this. And he said, here it is, sheep and goats. That's pretty simple, right? Let me read it to you. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. Uh-oh. Same word. You cared for me. I was sick and you came and you helped me. You cared for me. You nursed me. Visited me. Same word. Pure religion and undefiled before the Lord is to visit, not go have coffee with, to visit the widows and the orphans in their hardship. That could be right in this list with the parable of sheep, goats. I was an orphan and I had nowhere to go and I was struggling and you came and you helped me. I was a widow and I had no one and I was homebound and I was there and you came and you helped me. Sheep. James, that Jewish leader of the church at Jerusalem, the half brother of Jesus, is preaching his brother's message. It's the Good Samaritan all over again. A man fell among thieves and was laying there bleeding to death, and a pastor come walking by, and he looked over there and he said, and he passed on the other side of the road. And a deacon and an elder and an usher and all those good praise team people, they come walking by from the church and they looked over there and they said, I got a meeting. I got to get. My family's waiting on me. And a Samaritan dog, a lowlife, came by and he picked that guy up and he bandaged him up and he put him on his camel and he took him to the hospital and he said, take care of this guy and I'll pay for it. Here's where you send the bill. I tell you, that man is justified. He visited that Samaritan. He cared, he tended, he nursed. James is simply preaching his brother's message. If you want beautiful, religious, outward service, that's it. Not this. Not this. Not this. Not that. That's not it. Of all people, James, a Jew, a guy in Jerusalem, a guy who reeks of religion, who probably had a robe on, who probably had music, he already had smoky thing. A guy that reeks of religion, and he's saying, you want external religion? You want to see a cool service? You want a service the way you like it? You want to see what it really looks like? I'll tell you what religion looks like, Jew. Go visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. Go find a naked person and clothe him. Go find a hungry person and feed him. Go find a stranger and make him feel welcome. That's pure and undefiled religion. Outward appearance, external framework of religion. She didn't even mention the hymn book. Are you kidding me? He didn't mention the King James Bible. What? Oh yeah, it wasn't written yet. No. Shut your mouth and go find somebody to help. Go find somebody to help. That's religion that God the Father looks down on as pure and undefiled. That's why we do what we do here at Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. That's exactly why you are doing what you are doing. Because this isn't it. You know as well as I do, right? There are people who used to come here. They've come here and they've decided to leave. This is just not the service that it used to be. This is just not the worship the way I should worship. This is just not it. You don't even sing that. You don't even do that. You don't even do that anymore. This is not good. You don't belong here. This is not for you. We are not that religion. We're this religion. We're this one. We don't walk on the other side of the road to get to a nice church service I'm going to. We walk on the other side of the road to find a hungry and a naked and a stranger, and to clothe him and to feed him and to give our life like Jesus left his home in heaven and came here where he didn't even have a home, like the foxes and the birds, and he came here to walk and to live and to sleep outside and to die on a cross for us. And he says, follow me or religion? What do you want? What do you want? That's why we are who we are. That's why we do what we do. And yeah, call me crazy, Taylor Swift, call me crazy. But that's why we do this. And if you need this service, you're in the wrong house. Because we're going outside. We're going out into the bushes and the hedges where Jesus said, go out and invite them into your supper. Those ones that can't repay you, go invite them in to your dinner, to your banquet. That's who I want you to invite in. That's pure religion and undefiled before God our Father. We're not going to dispute and argue about religion, about the little minutiae of how we do it. We're not going to do that. This is James, the half-brother, just finally, the guy who didn't even believe in his brother. The guy whose mom said, get out there and seize your brother, he's crazy. Until that resurrected Christ, James didn't even believe in his brother. And now he's preaching his brother. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever stopped and thought about this? Listen. This is amazing. In 110 years, think about this. In 110 years, the planet Earth will be populated by an entirely new and different population of people. 110 years, maybe give or take a year, no one living on the planet Earth today will be alive on this planet. Every single person will be different than the ones you and I look at and know. We'll totally be all gone. It'll be all new. Everybody here. If there's a house or a building or a car still here, nobody on it on Earth today will be in it. It'll be an entirely new planet population of people. Entirely. And God will still be on the throne. The Word of God will still be being preached. James will still be preaching, go find some naked, hungry, thirsty people. Because God never changes. Pure and undefiled religion for that new planet of people will be, go help a stranger. Go visit, care for a widow or an orphan in their affliction. Get out of your pew and go do something to help someone. That's the service I want to see. And watch your mouth. And watch your mouth. Because it'll ruin everything. I don't know how many years I've got left. I don't know how many years you've got left. But I know one thing. I'll be gone before you know it. And so will we. And this whole planet will be populated again. And I want to take the time I have to serve my Lord the way He wants me to serve Him, not the way I want to serve Him. Wherever you're at today, I hope you have 50 or 60 years left. I do. But I hope you spend it well serving Him with the service He wants, not the service you like. He's still recreating in me and in my wife. He's still recreating our hearts and our minds and changing us one degree to another, to another, to another. I darn sure don't want to waste my time here on this planet serving Him with my idea of a good service or by running my mouth and blowing the whole thing. What about you? What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready? Get in the trenches. Do this. Visit. Visit someone. Visit the hungry. Visit the naked. Let's go help. Let's get doing it in the name of Christ. Here's a burger from McDonald's. In the name of Christ. Here's a bag of clothes. In the name of Christ. Stranger, weirdo, crazy. Come on down. We love you. Right? Amen? You're welcome at our place. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your religion. Don't waste your Sunday morning. Come on up here and help us find some naked and hungry and thirsty, strange people to visit. Won't you? I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart. And you know why I'm telling you this message this morning? Because I love you. And I don't want you wasting your life worrying about nickel-dime religious people. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, I am begging You in Your Spirit and Your grace to shape us and take us. Lord, may we be the strongest, most powerful 40 or 50 people in Goshen, Indiana. In Indiana, in America. May You raise this small group of people up to serve You the way it pleases You. Not us. Lord, give us strength to guard our mouth. It's set on fire by hell, James said. May we never talk bad about each other, about those You've created in Your image and died for. Lord, I pray. I pray this message and this morning and Your word of God has gone out, and I pray You'll just reap fruit from it. Continue to change us to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ, like You did to His half-brother, James, who didn't even believe in Him and then began to preach Him and began to be like his brother. And Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, have Your way with us. Amen. I love what the Lord and Jesus, our Father, I love what He's doing to us right now. It's not always easy. It's challenging, even for the guy you're standing looking at right now. It's amazingly challenging to me. But I love what He's doing. And I love to see you change. And I love to watch so many of you being recreated into the image of Christ. It's such a pleasure to watch your walls come down. For you to find your sweet spot of service, roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty in someone's life. That is sweet service to God. He's recreating us to be His Son on these streets of these cities. So it's a blessing. I pray, lean into it. Keep leaning into it. Whatever He says, whatever He's calling you to do. can't guarantee it'll be clean or sanitary or quiet. It'll just be Jesus. And that's what we want. That's what you want. Don't waste your life. Don't waste another minute of your time without doing that. Lord, we love you. May we be Jesus for you. He died for us. And may we die for him. Die to ourselves to be you. In these few years we have left till the next population of this planet arises, may we be Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great day.
Thank you. And don't forget to meet me over at the tables for a few moments if you can.